Welcome to the Bravo Papers, a safe space for all us Bravo fans who love to analyze, deconstruct, and talk about our favorite Bravo shows ad nauseum. So join me, Bravo and Botox, and we'll catch up on all the Bravo news and read way too much into our favorite shows and Bravo celebrities. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Bravo Papers, Bravo Weekly News. Here with your host, Emily, Bravo and Botox, to hopefully brighten up your Monday a little bit, because, you know, Mondays suck. But hey, what better way to beat the Monday blues than to sink in and just think about other people's problem and other people's drama that isn't yours and is also entertaining? That's what we do here on the Bravo Weekly News. We've got all the tea, all the stuff going on with all the shows, all the stuff going on off camera. Because, you know, listen, there's one thing I know about Bravo fans, including myself, it's that we can just not get enough content. The more content, the better. Bring me all the everything. Bring me all the mess. I need all the mess. And guess what's bringing us some mess this week that we haven't had much of from them in a while, which is Vanderpump Rules. Vanderpump Rules has been, like, I've even had a couple episodes in the last month or so where there's been no Vanderpump Rules news. However, you know, with the rumors of them starting filming comes the drama, right? And comes the cast kind of picking up steam and getting themselves back in the headlines and all that kind of stuff. So we're going to start with that. All right. So let's go to VPR. So I think the biggest thing that's been going on has been this whole thing with Katie and her new boyfriend, which I did talk about last week. Now, there has been an update on that, which is that there's been some receipts being posted. So, okay. The person who, okay, so this is a person named Danielle Angie on Instagram, okay? And basically they responded to, I think, the original poster who was talking about, you know, Nick, this guy being trash, basically. So this is what Danielle says. Nick just did the same thing to me, literally a couple of weeks ago. He was playing both Katie and I. I have receipts and the hotel key. I found out about Katie, who he said was just a friend, but my friend sent me screenshots and I realized he was playing us. I haven't talked to him since. He was with Katie, got on a plane, and then went straight to hang out with me. I realized the problem with that because she posted something with him tagged and my friend sent me screenshots. Okay, and then this girl, Danielle, sent the screenshots to, again, I'm not sure who this person is that they are sending screenshots to. My apologies, but it says, stop my heart. And it was like a picture. It's a picture of her and him. Okay. And then, you know, this is like a picture of her and him, the selfie that she took, this girl, Danielle, with Nick, and then sent to her friend. And this friend is like, oh my God, that makes me happy. How did it go? And then she has DMs with Nick Martin. And in the DMs, he basically replies to her Instagram story where she has a picture of her legs like on the beach. And I guess he's like responding to the song and he's like, love this song. And then she's like, literally the whole album. And then he says, I listen to it constantly. Also, your legs are fire. And then it's just like him responding to a lot of her pictures. And he's like fire emoji to her in a bathing suit. And then she's like, me or the temperature? And he's like, you. So, you know, very flirty. Yeah, so it's not looking good. It's really not looking good. And then somebody else says, I met him. I think this is the same girl. I met him, or maybe this is a different girl. God, there's so many. It's like hard to keep track of. I met him during the time he was dating a woman named Whitney. He would say such horrific things about her behind her back. Like seriously, the most vile, degrading stuff out loud to a group full of people about her. I thought he hated his own girlfriend by the way he talked about her. He's always been a shit person. He uses his sobriety as a way to act like he's a saint. And any of the stuff in the past doesn't matter anymore. But he was still doing these things while sober, too. Someone else, I had a similar experience with Nick years ago before he was back with Sleeping with Sirens. Now this all makes sense and sucks he kept doing it. Okay. So I have also seen on Reddit that Katie has, I guess, blocked some of the girls who have been accusing him of stuff, which not a great look, Katie. But on the other side, I'm thinking, did she block them because she no longer wants to be tagged in this stuff because she's getting tagged in all of it? And my hope, okay, this is my hope. This does not mean this is reality. My hope is that Katie is dealing with this in real life, or, you know, is dealing with this in some way off, I want to say off camera, but they're not even filming, but dealing with this right now, and for now has blocked these girls so she stops getting tagged in it because maybe it's painful for her. But my hope is that she's in the process of breaking up with him. There's a lot of people that are kind of jumping on the like, oh, see, we all loved Katie during Scandoval, but she actually really sucks. And this is just a reminder that she sucks. And da-da. I mean, it could be. I don't know. Like, I'm going to wait and see. Like, we don't know what's going on behind closed doors. Like, her blocking these girls, it could be like, she's trying to just like bury her head in the sand because she really likes this guy, which that's a shitty thing to do. It's also a human thing to do. When you think you're in love or something like that, and it's, you know, it would be a huge mistake if that's what she's doing. But then on the other side, it could also just be seriously what I said, which is that she's just trying to avoid all this, the tagging and information, while she deals with this guy. So we don't know. For all we know, they could be broken up right now, or they could not be. I don't know. And again, like I said, there's guys like this that can really convince you that they've changed, etc. However, these screenshots being so recent, some of them like overlapping with when she's begun dating him and she said she was in love, that's not good. So I don't know. This is why they need to be filming Vanderpump Rules. Despite all of this and how messy it could be, and whether Katie's on the right side of this or not, or whatever the case is. And like, again, I'm not here blaming Katie for his bad behavior. All she did was date a guy that she liked. That's really all she's guilty of at this point. And we don't know anything else. So I think people should just calm down for a minute and reserve judgment until we do know what's going on behind closed doors, if we get to know, I guess. But either way, this will bring good mess for the show. So I'm always down for that. But can we start filming, please? Bravo, Vanderpump Rules, Evolution, all that kind of stuff, because there's stuff going on. Okay. So what we've heard from that is basically that there are salary disputes and seemingly unresolvable conflicts among various cast members. Well, duh. But I mean, isn't that what the show is? Unresolvable conflicts? I mean, yeah, like, according to a source from DailyMail.com, the producers have even started auditioning new faces that could potentially replace current casts. I mean, I don't think we should do that. And they are still negotiating, though, with a few stars who are holding out for more money and are unwilling to compromise. Well, I mean, some of them should be unwilling to compromise, because I think there are some, i.e. Ariana, who are in a position of walking away no problem. Okay. Apparently, this may well end up being a farewell season, because it seems like the cast can't come back together and rebuild their friendships in an authentic way. I mean, that's not really news. I think we all knew that. And I've been saying for a while that, you know, this show's on its last legs. The only hope is to, you know, start the show over with a completely new cast, or just have, you know, or just cancel it. And I don't think they should do it like a reboot, like Roni. Like, I think if they start another show revolving around like Sir or whatever, it should just have a new name and just be a new show. You know what I mean? So that people aren't trying to like attach it to the original Vanderpump Rules. But there are so many issues between the various cast members. This is from the source, and it's no longer an organic group of friends that want to hang out with each other. I mean, I would argue that it hasn't been for a while, but now the veil is lifted and it's just too obvious to the audience that there's no authenticity, because at least before we had some hope that like the girls were friends, at least most of them seemed okay, except, you know, Raquel going into season 10 was kind of left out, but at least she had Sheena. Like now it's like, you know, it seems like they basically all hate each other, like all around, you know? So basically the future of the series is still ongoing, but a decision will be made soon. Okay. So Ariana, you know, they kind of try to mention like Ariana still refusing to interact with Tom Sandoval. Here's the thing is like, she'll film with him. She just doesn't want to interact. So, and like, to me, that is authentic. So I do think we can go forward in that sense. You know, like, I mean, God, they made season 11 work, and that was like, it was way worse. I mean, maybe it is worse now, actually, now that I think about it. Because now Ariana's not just mad at Sandoval, like now she has conflict with Sheena and Lala. So I don't know. I don't know. Okay. So then I think there was another update even from there. Hang on, let me find it. Dun, dun, dun. No, I think that was the last update in terms of like, you know, where the show is going. But Sheena did mention this on her podcast. And basically, you know, to give you kind of the short of it, she says she thinks we've got at least one more season of Vanderpump. And by we, she obviously means the OG cast. I know why Sheena wants this besides the paycheck and the fact that Sheena's, you know, always going to be thirsty to be famous and on TV. But the reason that Sheena wants this is because she needs one more season to win back the audience. Sheena knows that she is not getting on The Valley or any other show for that matter if her last season and her last chance was season 11, which she fucked up royally. Everyone's pissed at her. Nobody liked her after that season. People are very like anti-Sheena, you know. People have her in the same camp as Lala, who keeps digging herself even deeper, which I'll get to next. But overall, you know, Sheena's like, please just give me one more season where I can win the audience back enough so that they would be okay with me and Brock transitioning to The Valley. And there's my new job. Like, I know that is exactly what Sheena is thinking. Now, if Lala was smart, that's what she'd be thinking. And Lala would be at least attempting to walk things back. But she's not really doing that because, I don't know, it's Lala. So, okay. So on that note, Lala was on the Jeff Lewis radio show and basically confirmed that she's not speaking to Ariana and that she will not be trying to repair their friendship. And basically in the clip, she says that, okay, so I'll give you kind of like the clips or parts of the conversation that matter here. So Lala says, why is it I have to go ham on Tom Sandoval? Ariana still lived with him. Do you understand why I couldn't wrap my head around it? I want to feel a certain way, but how are we using the same words? I feel like I'm going insane that no one is understanding this still. Still, right now, I'm like, why is it not making sense? And then Jeff says, I'm understanding, but Lala, you were there. This was, sorry, I have to make this bigger because I can't see it. This was years ago when you went through something very similar, right? The cheating, the deception, the lying, all of that. You've had years in therapy to get through that. During the first 6 months, I'm sure you were foggy. And then Lala says, my love, I didn't live with him still. I left the house. And then Jeff says, you're not necessarily making rational decisions when you're first going through this, right? You kind of have to give her some grace, I think. And then Ryan, who's another host of the show, says, but also he should have moved out. Yes, as in Sandoval. Thank you. And then Lala says, well, he's a narcissist. I hate yelling it from the rooftop. Girl, we all know he's a narcissist. We don't need you to tell us that. Okay. And then the other thing that she talks about is basically like how in the interview that she, as in Lala, if she had been in Ariana's situation and still lived with Rand, that she would not have been given the grace from the audience that Ariana was given living with Tom Sandoval. So basically, Lala is upset because of her perception of what could have happened in an imagined reality that didn't actually happen. Like, she's upset about like this hypothetical situation, which is stupid for the obvious reason. You don't know that because it didn't happen. You can't be mad about stuff that isn't real. Like, so what she's really mad, I guess, is that she just feels like she'll never, no matter what the situation is, she never was and never will be given the same amount of grace as Ariana was given. But what Lala is still failing to acknowledge and to see is that it's not the exact same situation. And this is Lala's problem, is she looks at everything in very black and white terms. There's a lot more nuance and gray to this than she's willing to admit. Number one, we never really knew Rand that well. He was on the show here and there a little bit. He was never a full-time cast member, nor did we ever get to know him in any sort of way or watch him grow or watch him in various relationships. We've watched Tom for 10 years on our screen, and he was one of the stars and the more well-liked people. So that's first of all. We also watched their relationship. We got attached to their relationship. We believed that it was a good relationship, that they really loved each other, like we were invested in it. None of us were ever invested in her and Rand, one, because we never really saw their relationship. We didn't see it start. We didn't see it progress. We didn't really get to see the meat and drama of it as it unfolded, besides like through social media. And in those situations, Lala acted like a complete monster to Randall's ex. And then by the time he was on the show, it was like years later. And then we were just like, who cares? And no one ever really thought that he was a good guy. Many people did believe that Tom Sandoval was a good guy and a good boyfriend to Ariana. So that was also part of it. The other hugest, biggest part of this, and I can't believe that it is 2024, almost November, and I still have to say this, Ariana owned that house. Period. End of story. She did not move into a house that Tom Sandoval bought and owned that she had no ownership in. Of course you left. Of course you left, my love, because it wasn't yours. So what the hell do you care? She's not going to forfeit her own property. Why would she do that? Like, it is, and the fact that Lala continues to act like she is dense and like she doesn't understand that to me is like, it's like a willful, it's like she's digging her heels into the ground willfully just to be an asshole. Like, that's how it's coming across. And it really bothers me that Jeff Lewis didn't say that. That's what really gets me. Like, I don't understand why he didn't bring that point up. Maybe he did in the larger interview, but in this part and the clip that I have, he didn't. Like, I just don't understand how we're all like, okay, there's a pink elephant like right here. It's stepping on my handbag. Like, why are we all pretending it's not there and it's the most important thing? It just makes no sense to me. I get so frustrated talking about this. Okay, so Lala is still digging her heels in and still being the worst. What else can we say about this show? Oh yeah, so Tom Sandoval's also been yapping away lately and he's got some things to say. So he basically said, he made a claim on his podcast recently. First of all, he's literally still doing the whole like, you know, she's not an innocent victim, bro. Like, she took her clothes off and jumped in the pool and skinny or whatever. Like, okay, we've heard it a million times. And Tom, no matter how many times you say it, it doesn't matter. No one thinks that Rachel is innocent in all this. No one thinks that she is like an innocent victim for the most part. I don't think anyone does. No one's even listening to her anymore. Hence, she's not even doing her podcast. And number two, her taking off her clothes and jumping into the pool doesn't make you any less innocent. There's always going to be temptations out there. It's up to you, the person in the relationship, to stay loyal to the person that you're with. Okay, so let's get that all out of the way. The reason, though, that he's really saying that is because he's trying to somehow like discredit her lawsuit. But her lawsuit isn't really about like, you know, him, like the affair, or like, she's not trying to say that the affair was not consensual. She's trying to say that the sharing of the video was. Now, that being said, I do think that there are other mentions in the lawsuit that are not in relation to the video, where she really tries to make herself like a victim of like Ariana and NBC Universal and all this other stuff. So fine. But at the end of the day, like, I don't know why he's still hammering at this point. But the other thing that he did say, which is a big accusation, is he claims that Rachel and her team said that they would drop all the lawsuits against Tom if he blamed NBC for the affair being found out. So if he admitted, I guess, that, because I guess some Rachel seems to want to blame NBC for the affair or the affair being made public. So he said that Rachel said, if you say that it was NBC Universal's fault that the affair was discovered and made into like this whole public spectacle, then I will drop all these lawsuits. So then on the podcast, Tom was like, so she wants me to say that it's NBC Universal's fault, that my phone fell out of my pocket, that Ariana grabbed it, that she went to the washroom and looked at it, you know, during a time when we weren't even filming. Like, he basically says, I can't claim that. It's not true. But it's interesting to me, like, I don't know if this is true and that if Rachel and his team said this, and it's Tom Sandoval, he's a known liar. So, you know, we take everything with a grain of salt. But let's pretend for a second it's true. Why would she say this? I mean, there is a reason, because it would give Rachel a little bit more, I guess, I don't know, like steam to sue NBC Universal. And at the end of the day, like, I do think that Rachel sees, you know, she was let go from her podcast. As much as she wants to say she's stepping down for her podcast, she had a deal. She was signed on for something. You know, I think the deal's up. I think she's not getting the listens and the ad revenue that she once was. And that's it. They're done with her. Like, they've milked her for everything they could. And she handled this whole situation so terribly from like a PR career standpoint. Again, I'll say this every single day. The biggest mistake she made was not signing on for season 11, and she knows it. So the angle that she's taken was just, yeah, it was just not good. So she went about it all wrong. So here's the other thing. She now is trying to squeeze the last bit of income out of this whole situation. And again, just for the record, I'm not saying she doesn't have a case when it comes to the whole, like, what's it called? Revenge porn thing, and that she shouldn't sue Tom Sandoval for it. She absolutely should. I don't agree with her suing Ariana for it, but she, you know, if she can go up against NBC Universal and get something out of them, it could be something much bigger that could kind of set her up in a good financial place so that she can, you know, move on or move forward or do whatever she wants to do with her life and career, right? It is a money grab at the end of the day. That being said, Tom still deserves to be sued because he sucks and he did take part in revenge porn, like, period, full stop. Okay, so the other thing we have from Vanderpump Rules news is that he also confirmed that him and Ariana are selling the house now. So as we speak, the house is being put up for sale or is up for sale, and good. Thank you, Jesus. And imagine how much easier everything would have been if he had just agreed to sell it from the start. Imagine how much money they've wasted going through all the litigation and the legal advisors and stuff like this. Like, I don't know why Tom tried to dig his heels in about this when it's so, if only he had just not been a complete moron who doesn't understand how interest rates and carrying a mortgage on your own and all that kind of stuff worked, then yeah, he could have saved everyone a lot of time. Okay. Now, one last thing about Vanderpump Rules. Lala also, this is kind of Vanderpump Rules / The Valley, but Lala in a recent episode of her podcast talks about the love triangle, square, whatever, between Brittany, Julian, Jax, and herself. So this could be a plot point for The Valley season 2. So I guess there's this guy, Julian, who I think is a basketball player. Okay, yes, I just checked. Yes, so he's a basketball player, and apparently he was someone that Lala was like kind of hanging out with and had brought around the group a couple times, but I don't think it like made it onto camera, but he was someone that she had hooked up with in the past, and, you know, but it never went anywhere serious or anything like that. And then basically as the story goes, you know, Lala claims that later, and this was, you know, this was after Lala was quote unquote done with him. So this was her former fling, that Brittany hooked up with him. So I guess this was after Brittany was separated from Jax. So when Lala hooked up with him, it was like when she was living in Stassi's old apartment. So it was like, you know, 10, 11 years ago. But yeah, he was, I guess at one point he was living in Hawaii, but when he would come to LA, they would kind of hook up. Okay. Now, there were rumors in 2022 that the two of them were dating. But, you know, she did bring him around the group, but then they didn't like have sex again. They would just make out. And then she never had sex with him again. But they, like I said, they would just kiss. But she would bring him on double dates or group dates. And that's how Jax and Brittany knew him. So I guess that it wasn't her boyfriend, but, you know, she kind of ended hooking up with him after he didn't pass her background check requirements. So I'm not sure exactly what that means. But Brittany started hooking up with him during her separation from Jax, and Lala was just like, it came out good for her. But she's like, yep, I introduced him to the group. So it doesn't seem like Lala's bothered by this, but I can see that Lala might be angling this as like a way for her to get on the valley. Like I have a strong feeling that this will be coming up on the next season of the valley, because this is part of the storyline with Jax and Brittany's divorce. Because, you know, Jax tweeted, I don't know if you remember, I mentioned it a couple weeks ago on a news episode, but Jax tweeted, oh, why don't you ask Brittany who she's been hooking up with the last couple months? And I believe that he's referring to this guy. So yeah, it's a whole mess. But I'm sure Lala doesn't care, but I'm sure she has no problem pretending she cares for clout and to get on the show. Okay, so let's go to Real Housewives of Orange County. So Jennifer Pedrante's ex is accusing her of harassment and spreading lies in plea to lower his child support. Okay, so basically he requested that the $1,735 per month that he pays Jennifer be terminated. That is so low for the amount of kids that they have. He also asked that the $4,674 per month he pays in child support be reduced. So basically, he wants only the child support reduced by like $500 and something because their oldest son, Dawson, lives with him full time, which we did see that on the show. And he says he pays for like Dawson's whole life and car payments and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it still seems low considering how many kids they have, but okay. So the other thing that's come out is that he has leaked texts that he received from Jen. I'm assuming these are trying to make her look bad, since he doesn't have his own voice on the show, but I don't think that she makes him look that bad on the show. Like, you know, she tells her side of the story as, you know, an ex wife or whatever, but I mean, those are the breaks. Sorry. Okay, so these are the texts. So Jennifer texted this to William, but your rude attitude, complete dismissal of me when I'm speaking, and sick behavior in front of the kids is embarrassing. And then in another alleged email dated September 28th, she wrote, also, when you were doing your expletive best to avoid any conversation with me at our son expletive soccer game, I'm going to cause a massive issue if you don't start using Family Wizard. So I guess she's accusing him of not using like one of those apps that helps, you know, exes kind of communicate in a civil way, or it's like one where everything is watched and can be used in court or whatever. So yeah, Family Wizard is a court app that allows all parties involved to communicate with each other. And then she also texted him, really, you're a joke. I'm on the fucking brink, Will. You use me. You use me every single time you are home. I'm trying to communicate with you. When the show asks about your dumbass girlfriend, I say how wonderful she is. She's a fucking fool. I take up for you. Say what an amazing dad you are. I ask you every time you're home. Let's talk. Can we have a minute? So those are the texts that he leaked. I don't think those texts are giving what he thinks they are. Like, I feel like he thinks those are going to make her look bad. I think they kind of make him look bad. They make him look like his ex-wife is extremely frustrated because he's not cooperating in the co-parenting and as an ex-husband should. So I don't really know what he's going for there. Like, it sounds like she's trying to have calm conversations with him whenever he's over or at the house and that he refuses. It sounds like he's not cooperating, like I said. So it's just like, I don't know. Maybe he needs some PR help because it's not looking good. All right. So in Real Housewives of New Jersey news, we have a little bit of an update from the story from last week. So if you remember, Dina Manzo's ex-husband has been sentenced, and a statement has been put out by Dina's daughter. So I wanted to read that statement. And this is a statement, you know, about her dad, right? So Dina's daughter's full statement. So the fallout from my mother's marriage to Tommy is a complete tapestry of emotions and betrayals. Oh, wait, no, she was from a previous marriage from before Tommy, wasn't she? I think so. Pretty sure. Okay, I'll get back to you all. Sorry. Either way, this is what she said. While strangers often offer empathy upon hearing our story, I find myself at a perpetual loss to understand how the man who tormented my mother garnered the support of my own family. Caroline was more than an aunt to me. She often rocked me to sleep as a child and stepped in as a second mother, welcoming us into her home during the uncertain period following my mother's separation from my father. Yet, in a staggering betrayal, she would later choose the side of my mother's abuser and go as far as writing a character letter in defense of Tommy. What could compel someone to form an alliance with a felon over their own blood? Some might describe it as thick as thieves. Meanwhile, my mother's sister, Cookie, continued to be employed by him and even appeared in court in his support. A troubling lack of loyalty despite having once shared a home with us and bearing witness to Tommy's darkness. I'm going to assume that's abuse. I've always gotten the impression that this is a violent, abusive man. Other family members chose the path of silence, offering neither empathy nor acknowledgement. Their complacency and acceptance to his crimes. I have been severed from a once beloved village of aunts, uncles, and cousins, all because of these fractured alliances. My phone is yet to ring. Perhaps this shows how cunning of a man Tommy is, or how shallow humans can be. For the last decade, I have felt trapped within the layers of my own story, existing in silence and hesitating to confront those I feared. My mother, her husband, and I have persevered despite these hardships, turning our pain into purpose and our trauma into truth. It wasn't until I began to unpack these emotions that I thought to ask myself, who really is the bear? Is it the people we fear, or is it fear itself? So to give the bear thing context, she had posted like a picture from like, I think it's like a fable or something like that, of like a bear and a dancing with someone, but I can't remember. I didn't really read it carefully. Sorry, guys. But yeah, so pretty heartbreaking to hear that. Like, we saw Dina's daughter on the show, and I just, you know, I think what she's saying is so poignant because it's like we, the audience who don't really know them, it's almost sometimes it's easier for the people who are not in it to do the right thing and to see the right side. And then people who are in it and are sort of muddied with all these things. And I'm not making excuses for Caroline Manzo or Dolores or anyone else, but it's, you know, for them to like, you know, only see the sides of this guy that they want to see, and to also have these other voices, you know, like Albie Manzo and all these other people, you know, and the extended family, which I'm sure is a huge part of it, who are barking in your ear and making sort of veiled threats and things like that. And that's me giving the most empathetic perspective to this. Okay. But really what I think is that Caroline Manzo and her family all suck. That's the truth. I think they suck. I think it's insane that they abandoned her, Dina, this way. And I think that this man was a violent abuser and that she did the very difficult thing to do, especially in these old school Italian family kind of worlds. She left him. And as many people know, that in domestic violence situations, when you leave, that is the time, that is the most dangerous time for someone. When you try to leave or you start a new life, right, like she did, you know, it's not like they're just like, oh, well, the relationship's over, I'm over it. No, they can't deal with that. They have to have control. You know, it becomes like a, you know, if I can't have her, no one can, like, hence beating this man and, you know, the home invasion and all that kind of stuff. Like, it's just, it's very fucked up. So, you know, again, wishing all the best for Dina and her family. Meanwhile, the Manzos held a going away party for Tommy Manzo at the Brownstone. Tables cost $10,000 to attend, and the money was going towards his legal bills. Wow. So, yeah, they are still supporting this man even after convicted. Okay. Maybe it's good that that season of Ultimate Girls Trip was not aired, because I really don't need Caroline Manzo or anyone from her family on my screen ever again. Okay. All right. So next we are going to talk a little bit about Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. We do have one story from there, which is that basically Dana Wilkie has come out and said that Whitney Rose pressured Adam. So Adam was the guy who Whitney called in the car to confirm that Lisa Barlow was the one who was like spearheading the whole like Alibaba story. And basically, so Dana says that Whitney Rose pressured Adam to tell her what she wanted to hear. And the real informant is who we would least expect. Dun, dun, dun. So I guess Dana's trying to say that Lisa is maybe innocent and that it wasn't Lisa and that it was actually somebody else who, you know, leaked the story of, I don't know, the necklaces looking the same. Listen. Am I the only one who feels like whoever leaked it is not like that important? Because I just feel like Whitney having products from her brand that are the exact same stock photo from Alibaba, that is going to come out. I just feel like that she's not the first one where that was something like that hasn't come out by just internet sleuths finding it. Like, I just feel like internet Bravo accounts or bloggers or people on Reddit or whoever would have come out eventually. And I just kind of assume that that was how it came out. Like, I don't like maybe fine. Maybe I guess Whitney thinks Lisa gave that information or like helped spread it around even more so it would make more of a splash, I guess. But I mean, like, I don't know. I'm just kind of like, get over it. like there was a time where like it came out that like Melissa Gorga was selling like fake Chanel or something at her store or something like that. And that made its way around and it was just like, you know, probably like Teresa fans or just whatever New Jersey fans who did it. Like, to me, this is giving the same thing. Like, is this not just like people being like, oh my God, look at Whitney, what an idiot. Like, is that not just what it is? Like, we've seen that with She by Sheree, people comparing things like she stole this design from Shein or something. Like, that's why I'm kind of like, I don't think that this is as nefarious as Whitney wants it to be. I feel like Whitney just always wants like some sort of story where someone on the show has really done something maliciously to try and take her and her family or her and her business down. And she always wants us, the audience, to care so much. And I just think that we never do. Like, we enjoy the fallout. We enjoy the fight. We all enjoyed the argument between Lisa and Whitney. Great episode, by the way, 10 out of 10. But like, do I care that much? No, because you did take the picture from Alibaba and you probably do get their products from them. And I'm sorry. And Whitney, stop acting like your company is some like super highly respected international global phenomenon. Like, it's just another Housewives company. Okay? That'll probably be gone in a few years, if not sooner. So I don't know. Like, I'm not like seeing, and I don't know, like, I kind of believe Lisa. Like, I'm not a Lisa Barlow person. Like, I'm not like a hater, but I'm not a fan. I'm just kind of like, you know, I think she's a good cast member. Like, I think they all are, but I think that this was already out there. And I don't necessarily think that it was Meredith or Lisa specifically that got it out there. I don't know. Like, I think maybe they're all just like extra. Like, listen, they all do this kind of stuff. All the housewives do this, as we've seen on every show, including no one. It's not just New Jersey. It's OC. It's everywhere. But I just feel like this was already out there. And yeah, maybe they like shared it or DM'd it to someone. But like to say they're like behind it as this huge scheme, it's a bit of a stretch. Okay, let's talk about the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, which we got a trailer for. So it kicks off with a supersized premiere on Tuesday, November 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Bravo. The trailer came out and, you know, Kyle's still kind of playing it coy about the whole Morgan Wade things. We didn't really see much about that. But one thing that we are seeing off camera, I guess, is Kyle has been on safari. Okay. And, you know, she's checking out the animals and she keeps posting these like Instagram stories with videos of her with the animals. And, you know, she'll like flip the camera back to her and the people she's on the trip with. And it looks like Morgan Wade is there, but like Kyle is trying to hide her, which she's so annoying with this stuff. Like, it's clear to me that Kyle wants to hide Morgan because then it makes, maybe will make the audience have like a renewed interest in whether her and Morgan are a couple, when I think that no one really gives a shit anymore and no one cares and no one's talking about it. So yeah, I think that's what she's trying to do. Because if she really is just friends with her, like she keeps saying, why would we care if they're on a trip together? We see them at events together all the time. Here's the other thing, though. A lot of time when it's like, oh, Kyle spotted with Morgan Wade at a cafe in Paris or whatever, it's always like these quote unquote, you know, like behind the bushes paparazzi pictures, and no one ever cares. And you know it's Kyle putting those out. Like, Kyle just wants this to be a thing so bad, and it's getting embarrassing. So she needs to stop. Okay, find something else. Fight with Dory. That looks good. Okay, and if you want a full breakdown of all my thoughts on the trailer, because I did a full breakdown of the trailer and gave all my thoughts on every conflict, etc., and all my predictions and all that, head to patreon.com/BravoandBotox, because that was part of my bonus episode this week. All right, what else do we have news about? I think we have some mom talk news, actually, because, okay, it is confirmed that Taylor Frankie Paul is back with Dakota. I am sure that she will be back, broken up with him soon, and then back with him again, and so on, until we all die. That's what it's going to be. So, you know, of course, this is going to drum up things and drama for the season that is upcoming. But this is what she posted. Basically, it's like a meme or one of those, it's just like a quote on an Instagram post that says, due to personal reasons, I'll be back with the same man I said I'm done with. Okay, great. Sounds good. Now, Whitney Rose, did I just say Whitney Rose? I said it so confidently too. I'm like, Whitney Rose? No, I absolutely mean Whitney from from Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. I mean, they're both Whitneys. They both have bobs and they both live in Salt Lake and Mormon. I know Whitney Rose is no longer Mormon technically, but still. Okay, so Whitney posted a TikTok dance thing and she's in labor. It's like her and her husband, they're dancing around the delivery room and she's got like stuff stuck to her belly and, you know, he's doing her little dance. So congratulations. All right. There was also some stuff leaked about, basically from producers of Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, of things that they could not include on the show and kind of some little bit behind the scenes tea. So Demi's husband, was on The Bachelor before he married Demi. ABC wanted to pay them in order to mention it, but they didn't want to do that. So I guess he was not like a star or like a big, you know, person who like, I guess, made it really far and everybody knew, but he was on The Bachelor as a contestant. Whitney uses AI to run her social media, but the producers couldn't mention it on the show because she didn't want people knowing she wasn't creative. It's called, apparently she uses something called Trend Talk, and it's free, and Whitney is super cheap and doesn't like to pay for anything. Okay. Another thing, Jen Affleck's mom lives with her and Zach, but Jen did not want people to know their living situation. They were only allowed to record in the kitchen and the backyard. The producer says they couldn't even use her bathroom. Okay. After they finished recording, Taylor's ex-husband refused to let the two oldest kids be seen on the show. They had to reshoot so many scenes and it pushed back the show by 6 months. Wow. I mean, I'm not that surprised with the ex-husband not wanting the kids to record because, you know, it's probably like he feels like enough of his personal mess is fueling this show and Taylor's stardom. And he didn't know how Taylor or that whole situation was going to be received by the audience. So it's like, why am I also going to put my kids in it? Now, as for Jen Affleck's mom, I think that is interesting. Like, it's almost like, I wonder if Jen is a little bit embarrassed, not like that Jen is embarrassed of her mom, but maybe that Jen was trying to put forward like a sort of, I don't know, a very specific image of her and Zach and their life. I don't know. Maybe it's as simple as she just wants to protect her mom's privacy. Like, I have no idea. But whatever she was aiming for, I think it failed miserably, as often happens with reality TV, because, you know, things with her and Zach obviously did not go over well. Next, we have a small bit of Summer House news. So you might remember that, I don't know if I did it or talked about it on here or if it was on Patreon, but there was a while ago, but fairly recently, like sometime in September probably, where there was a job posting for Loverboy, and it was for like a creative content person and also a personal assistant to Kyle, but they were like looking for like a two-in-one, and people were kind of snarking on it and making fun of that. It's like, oh, he's replacing Amanda, because isn't that kind of Amanda's role? And then people were also talking about how it's like a bit of a red flag job posting because it wasn't clear what the job was. And it's like they're trying to get like, you know, the work of two people, you know, out of one person to save money maybe. Anyways, so now there's another job posting or an updating, and Loverboy Inc. posted last call for applicants looking to work directly with Kyle, as though that's supposed to be such a selling point. But anyways, so Kyle Cook, this is his description of the job. I am hiring, posting on my personal LinkedIn page to see if there are any last minute job candidates. In other words, no one has applied or no one good, just like a thirsty fan. The job, hiring a Jack and Jill of all trades. Red flag, such a red flag of all trades. That means like I can't afford to pay people properly for their job roles and positions. So I'm going to make you run around like a chicken with your head cut off doing everything. A Jack/Jill of all trades to assist me at Loverboy and beyond. And again, I got to say, this sounds like this was Amanda. This is why I'm adding this to my list of clues that they might be getting divorced. Okay, you heard it here first. Whereas content creation is part of the job, this is not a full-time content creation or social media position. I'm looking for someone with entrepreneurial experience, ambitions, who understands that content is king across all industries. Okay, so it does sound like it's a content creation job. Okay, you must be New York City based, be willing to come into the office 3 times a week, and be willing to travel. A cover letter is required. Only serious inquiries, please. Okay. I stand by it. That sounds like, you know, I'm trying to fill Amanda's position because we can't work together anymore, either because she hates me and or, you know, she's quit because it's getting in the way of our marriage, or we're separating. that's my opinion. Okay. So let's talk about some general Bravo news. So there's a few things to keep in mind. We have some dates, and one thing that has been announced is that according to Madison LaCroix, season 10 of Southern Charm will premiere in December. And while we're talking about Southern Charm, rest in peace, Michael Kalkhorst. If you remember him or if you're a Southern Charm person, you will know that he was Patricia's butler, who we all loved as an audience, who everyone on the show loved. He did have a second stroke recently. He was also, you know, she says in her statement that he was a trusted friend, confidant, member of the family for over 20 years. His humor and kindness quickly made him a fan favorite. Andy replied and said, "I'm so sorry to hear it. Thanks for sharing him with us, and he will be greatly missed." We also have an announcement about Real Housewives of Dubai, which has been renewed for season 3, which I'm really glad because I think they needed a little bit more time to get their footing. And I really thought they were going to get canceled, not because I thought the show was bad, because season 2 was actually quite good, but because the ratings just seem so low. But the ratings are very misleading lately for these shows because you can only see like the live ratings. And the networks are really looking at the streaming numbers up until 3 days after. Those are like the big numbers. And then they probably have like an overall what they're getting like within a month. I'm sure they have all that. They probably have all sorts of diagnostics and analytics, right? So that's why I'm just kind of like, maybe it's better than we thought. Because even OC, like when you look at the live numbers, they're always around like 600 and something thousand. But like, that's not that great considering how good OC is this season. But then I saw a story on, I can't remember what news outlet, but they were saying that apparently the OC ratings are like incredibly high and the network is like very, you know, happy with it. And they're not sure about what to do, you know, re-Alexis and Tamara and stuff for next season. So like, who knows? I wish there was a way to know the streaming ratings the way that we do with others, but there just isn't. Another announcement in terms of new shows is the Hey You Fan Fest, which just happened, I think, last week, announced that we are going to have a new Real Housewives, the Real Housewives of London, which is going to be coming in 2025. Now, this is going to be the first time that Hey You has done their own Real Housewives. So just like Peacock took, you know, Real Housewives of Miami over for a while, now we are going to have Hey You doing it, which I'm a little skeptical as a Hey You user because, you know, there's problems on their app a lot, but they've gotten better. I will say that they have gotten much better in the last year. So I'll give them that. I'm a little like I kind of wish Caroline Stanbury would move back to London. Ladies of London was so good. By the way, I'm rewatching all 3 seasons and recapping them on my Patreon, patreon.com/BravoandBotox. And I'm loving it. Like I'm like 4 episodes into season 3. So if you sign up, you can go back and listen to like all my recap of season 1 and 2 and catch up. But now I'm just kind of like, ooh, are any of these cast members going to come back? Like, I wonder. I mean, a lot of them are kind of, you know, some of them aren't even living in London before. I mean, one of them died. So yeah, and obviously Stanbury's in Dubai. But I wonder, because that show was great. Okay. What was the other thing? Oh, yes. And Phaedra Parks has been eliminated from Dancing with the Stars. So, you know, she did us proud as another Bravo personality on Dancing with the Stars, but her time has come to an end. I didn't get the impression from just talks on social media, etc., that she was like really good or making huge waves or anything, you know, but good for her for getting on there. I mean, she's really, you know, taken off with her career recently, ever since being on The Traitors. And it seems like she's in a bit of trouble with the Married to Medicine cast. So as we know, Phaedra was on Married to Medicine. Like we saw her in the new trailer, which by the way, the new Married to Medicine trailer came out and it looks amazing. But why is Dr. Contessa back? I'm not like I don't know. I don't like hate her or anything like that. I just find her annoying. She just annoys me. I don't know why. And she just never fully fit in some way. I don't know how to explain it, but whatever. So she's back. And the trailer looks really good. Like, I'm really excited about it. But, you know, Phaedra's in it, and she, as usual, is not doing much in the trailer. And she made, in my opinion, no impact on Married to Medicine last season. Like, she was just there kind of like making reaction faces, which that's not enough. I'm sorry. But obviously something happened. She left Married to Medicine, and then they sort of like 11th hour assigned her into Real Housewives of Atlanta. But recently she did an interview and she made a comment about how like she revived Married to Medicine or some shit like that. And, you know, she's not on that show anymore, though. She's on Real Housewives of Atlanta. And I was kind of like, let's not count our chickens before they hatch, because we don't know if you are going to actually bring it and be good on Atlanta. So that's first of all, we don't even know when the new season is coming and if it's going to be good, period. And also, you did not, I cannot emphasize this enough, revive Married to Medicine. First of all, Married to Medicine did not need to be revived because it's a great show. And that cast is so solid. That is like one of the last true casts on reality TV, especially on Bravo, who are actually friends and who have a real circle and have like just kept it so real for the last 10 plus years. So listen, Phaedra got annihilated on social media for that comment. And you know, Dr. Heavenly and others were not having it, which rightly so. Okay. So now that she has said that, it's going to be even more embarrassing if she doesn't bring it on Real Housewives of Atlanta. So we are waiting, Phaedra, with bated breath. Okay. Okay. All right. So we're going to end off there. Until next week, you are now in the know for everything Bravo. See you next time. Bye.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Your support really means everything to me. And this show wouldn't be possible without you, the listeners. So please, if you enjoy the podcast, leave a 5-star rating and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. For more, you can join my Patreon, patreon.com/BravoandBotox. And for $5 a month, you'll get 4 extra podcast episodes a month. You'll also get early releases of Bravo Paper episodes and more. Please also subscribe to my YouTube channel at The Bravo Papers and follow me on Twitter, Instagram, at Bravo and Botox, and at The Bravo Papers. If you'd like to buy me a coffee, you can at buymeacoffee.com/BravoandBotox. You know, send your love through some much needed caffeine. And any guest that was on today's episode will be in the show notes, all their social media and contact information. So thank you so much, everyone. Keep overanalyzing Bravo.